If you have your Bibles with you today, I want to invite you to turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 51. We're going to read this psalm in its entirety. It's not that long. 19 verses, I think. Here in just a few moments, I want to read this through to you, but it's a song that David wrote. David was a lover of music. Some things that we know about David. David loved music. He played the lyre. May know it more like a harp instrument. He loved to dance, right? Dancing's in the Bible, folks. It's there. You can't get past it. It's there. David was dancing in worship. It's there. It's biblical. We know that David was a warrior, right? He battled David and Goliath. Great big dude, 9 feet. Something tall, big guy, right? Taller than the NBA players. Shaquille O'Neal, nothing. We're talking like big guy, Goliath. David, little bitty guy, little bitty guy. Took him down with one rock. David killed a bear, killed a lion with his hands. Right? David was anointed king some great number of years before he ever became king. Spent many years on the run from the king, the current king. Was loved by his men. Had some issues. He had an issue with pride. He battled pride. Had some other issues. We'll talk about those in a minute. He committed adultery. Right? There's a little girl named Bathsheba. When a little girl, she was married. He had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba. Then to cover it up, he tried to cover it up. It didn't work. It failed. So then he took his liberties as king and he had the husband killed. He tried to cover that up too. He said, just send him back to battle, send him out to the front, and then withdraw everybody and leave him hanging. Basically, it's what happened. And they did, and of course, he died. Said he had an issue with pride. He wanted to find out just how strong he was, so he counted all of his mighty warriors even when he was told not to. His hands were bloody, even though he was doing the Lord's will and doing what he was told to do and fighting all these battles. Because his hands were so bloody, it kept him from building the temple. Right? We know all these things about David. I want to read this psalm. Little heading in the Bible, which is not scripture, just kind of gives a little heading. It says, for the choir master, a psalm of David, when Nathan, the prophet, came to him after his adultery with Bathsheba. Okay? This is the psalm that David wrote after Nathan, the prophet, came to him and said, you the man. You're the one. Told him a story. He said, well, guess what? You're the one in the story. You're the one who took the... You're the bad guy. You stole the sheep when you had all kinds of sheep. You stole the poor man's sheep. David wrote. And see, here's the deal. David, he didn't just write a silent prayer. You hear what it says? For the choir master, a psalm of David. He said, make this a big song. I want everybody to know this is the psalm of David. Sing it. because this is my heart. Go into private matter. He said, have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving devotion, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me clean of my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be proved right when you speak and blameless when you judge. Surely I was brought forth in iniquity. I was sinful when my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inmost being. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guilt, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You take no pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, cause Zion to prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, in whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. You see, David is voicing out publicly in way of a song his very personal prayer, a prayer of confession, a prayer of pleading to the Father for forgiveness, to for God to do a work within his heart, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Do the work that I can't do myself. That we know of David. He was a repentant man. Here's something else we know of David. In Acts chapter 13, there's a verse that refers back to 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. But the Acts verse says this: after removing Saul, God raised up David as their king and testified about him. Quote, this is God speaking, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will carry out my will in its entirety. I have found David, a man after my own heart. Let me ask you a question. Does God know all things? Does God just know all things that have happened? He does, right? He knows all things that have happened, and he knows all things that are happening right now, right? Does God know all things that will happen? So when God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, this is back when he was going to be anointed king, did God know that David was going to be an adulterer and murderer? But yet he called him a man after my own heart? How could that be so? Grace, absolutely. God thought highly of David, even with his faults and mistakes. Sometimes we think, how could God think so highly of such a man? Maybe we're thinking, could God think highly of me? Such a man, such a woman. I mean, David was an adulterer, conspired to commit murder, actually gave the command, so you could say he actually committed murder, because those under him had no choice but to do it. David was really not unlike you and I in many, many ways. It's kind of interesting being a pastor. Sometimes people treat me a certain way when they find out I'm a pastor. I've been involved in many conversations, and it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever been at the Deer Lease or around the campfire conversation, guys or ladies, I don't know, just general conversation where people don't know who you are and they're just free to speak however they want to speak. And then they say, well, hey, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a pastor. Oh, well, how doest thou, there are certain pastorists? Yes, my father, uncle, brothers, cousins was a pastor, and yes, I'm very religious myself. Their demeanor certainly changes. And if you ever been involved in a situation like that, you know, they're telling dirty jokes or something, and you say, what do you do? Oh, I can't. I've got to go to church. Oh, that joke, it was just, you know, I heard it. I didn't think it was very funny. You know, I just don't even know why I said it. You know, maybe you've been in a situation like that. When they find out who you really are, their demeanor changes, right? I can't tell you how many times that happens. And sometimes it's quite comical. They change their language or their behavior when I'm around because they think somehow I'm more than what I really am. In a sense, I really am more than I am, but that's not because of my doing. I'm a child of God. I have the very Spirit of God living within me, so I am more than what I am. However, physically, I'm just a dude. Matter of fact, I titled this sermon, I'm Just a Dude. I used that phrase the other day, and I was speaking with a person who Rebecca and I were speaking with just in conversation. I use this phrase a lot, you know. I'm a pastor, but hey, I'm just a dude. I'm a guy. I'm a person. I'm not some holy above everybody else person. I'm a person. You know, I'm a guy. I try to be as holy as I can with God's help. And I work at it, and it's a struggle, okay? But I'm no better than anybody else as far as the flesh. I mean, listen, I'm just as capable of doing anything as anybody else is in the flesh. David was the king and a man after God's own heart. But guess what? He was also just a dude. But here's the deal. He had a repentant heart. And he had a desire to keep things right between him and God. He sought the Lord for direction, and he followed it more often than not. You don't have to be a pastor or a king to have a heart for God. All it takes is just a dude or just a girl who desires to please the Lord by the way they live their life, who seeks to give God glory in all things, a person who seeks the Lord's will and does it. That's what David was. That's what made David a man after God's own heart. I wanted to speak a word of encouragement to you. I think here lately I've been kind of pounding us. And I say us because I've been pounding me too. All right? You need to know that anytime I preach a word to you, I first preach it to myself. Sometimes I preach it harder to myself than I do to you, I think. I want you to know this. You haven't done anything too bad for God to forgive. You haven't gone too far away from God that he can't bring you back. All it takes is a repentant heart. One that recognizes and agrees with God that things aren't right, but that desires to make it right. Understanding that we can't always make it right, but we can change how we do things in the future so that we do it right the next time. And we receive His forgiveness for when we've messed it up. You see, David really messed it up. Had that affair. Killed the guy. What about the next time David had an affair? Don't remember that one? Don't remember that one? Don't remember reading about that one? You don't? I don't either. I don't either. You see, he said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. He received forgiveness. But what I'm talking about is that repentant heart. You know the difference? You know what a repentant heart is, right? Repentance? It's not saying, I'm sorry. I got caught. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry I got caught. I'm sorry that I've got consequences on me now. I should have been smarter. You see, when we say we're sorry, that's what we really mean a lot of times. I'm sorry I wasn't smarter in my deviousness. But what David says is look, God, I'm sorry I did what I did, and I created me a clean heart that I may never go back there again. Change in me, created me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me, not one that craves that, renew a right spirit within me, one that desires you. And so we don't read of David having that issue ever. Because he repented, he turned from it, never looked back. And that's good news, folks. That's good news. Because that's God doing a work that we can't do alone. I guess it's sort of like the old love notes that we used to pass around in school. Of course, now they don't do love notes, they do texts. I love you. Do you love me? Check yes or no. Draw the little box. Check yes or no. I think God sends us a note. I love you with an everlasting love. Do you love me? Check yes or no. You see, there's not a third box. There's not a third box that says yes when it's convenient. Sometimes, on Sundays, when I'm around other Christians, at home I do, when my wife's home, when my husband's home, it's yes or no. God says, do you love me? Yes or no. God says, do you have a heart for me? Check yes or no. Do you desire me? Check yes or no. You see, it's as simple as that. It's a yes or no question. You don't have to get all theological in it. It's a yes or no question. We make things real complicated sometimes. We try to make things real difficult. When God says, hey, it's a yes or no question. Are you all in? Yes or no? I threw it all in for you. Are you all in for me? Yes or no? Because here's the deal. I'm all in for you. And if you're all in for me, you've got all of me. Let me tell you something. With all of me on your side, there ain't nothing we can't handle. Without all of me, there ain't nothing you can't handle. We sang a song a while ago, There Is a Fountain. If you can find the little red hymnal in front of you, I'd invite you to turn to page 142. I want us to read these words. It's there is a fountain, if you can find the words, Gloriana. She's so marvelous. Everybody say thank you, Gloriana. She's so fantastic back there. And I don't know if you have all these words or not. But 142 says this. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Emmanuel is who? God with us. It's Jesus Christ. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. That's what David was asking for. Take all the sins from me. Blot it out. All of it. Then it repeats that. Verse 2 says this. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. Remember the dying thief on the cross? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Truly I say unto you, you will be with me today in paradise. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Folks, I'm just as guilty as the thief on the cross. But all my sins can be washed away, are washed away just as the thief on the cross. Verse 3 says this, dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Listen, let me repeat this. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. The blood of Jesus Christ is just as powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago. Verse 4 says this. Ever since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. And shall be until I die and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Is that your song? Is that your song? Can you sing that song? His redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die because Jesus Christ paid it all for me. I have been plunged beneath that flood. And all my sins, just like David, I have repented and God has created in me a clean heart and renewed a steadfast spirit, a right spirit within me. Folks, let me tell you, if you've not asked God to do that for you, He is waiting for you. He is waiting for you. This is the good news. This is a word of encouragement today. You haven't gone too far. You haven't been too bad for God to renew you, to wash you white as snow, to forget all of your filthiness, your sins, to blot it out. The Bible says He throws it to the sea of forgetfulness. He chooses to forget. Sometimes I think we bring stuff back up to God and say, God, I still want to ask you again to forgive me of this. And God says, what are you talking about? You see, we're harder on ourselves sometimes. And God says, what are you talking about? If you're asking about something I've already forgiven, I don't know what you're talking about because I've forgotten about it. You asked me to forgive and I did and it's gone. As far as the east is from the west, folks, we have a circular globe. Figure that out. That is our God. He is a good God. And He loves you with an everlasting love. And all He says is, come. Come to me. If you're tired of it, if you're tired of bearing all that guilt and that weight, come back. I see the slate, and I got a big eraser. Are you willing? Check yes or no. God help us. God help us. Lord, it is an encouraging word to hear again that you are ready and willing to forgive us, that we've not gone too far. We've not been too bad. We've not done the unforgivable. And if there is something within our spirit, Lord, that is evidence that you are working within us, convicting us. You're pulling us. Lord, help us just to say, okay, I give in. I don't want to live that anymore. I don't want to bear that weight. Lord, there is freedom. There is freedom. But Lord, it takes a heart that seeks you. Like David, a man, a woman, after your own heart. Desire what you desire. Love what you love. Hate what you hate. Lord, is that us? You want it to be us. You're asking us if that it was us. You're asking us if that if we want that to be us. Check yes or no. Help us to decide today in Jesus' name.